Greet you all in the blessed name of Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the title for this evening's message, Whom Do You Honor? Let us think, ponder on this question and ask ourselves, whom do I honor in whatever I do? And be honest to ourselves. Do we honor God or we honor ourselves? We live in a world that seeks recognition. From childhood, we are taught to seek approval from parents, from teachers, and then from society. As adults, this pursuit only intensifies. People crave reputation, influence, name, fame, glory, and honor and praise. There's a deep desire to be seen, to be acknowledged, and to be honored. Who do not want honor? But here is the challenge of our Lord. Whom do you honor? This question is not merely about outward actions. It exposes the core of our motivation. It reveals whether we are living for ourselves or for God. If we are born again Christians, we are children of God. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Master. We are His servants. And we ought to honor Him. Seek to promote His name, not our own. The whole purpose of our life is to honor God, to glorify His name. We all know the first question in the Westminster Q&A, right? The question is, the first one, what is the chief end of man? Is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Okay, let us ask ourselves, what is the chief end of my life? Is it to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever? Honest speaking, many of us, we cannot say yes. We are not living our life on earth from day to day. Are we really living for the glory of God? Or we are seeking the world of our own comfort, for own pleasure, for own name? Be very careful. As Apostle Paul says, for do I not pursue man or God? If I yet still please the man, I should not be the servant of Christ. So how about you and me? Are we servants of Christ? Are we really seeking to promote Christ? In John chapter 8, Jesus is engaged in a debate with the Pharisees about His identity. The Pharisees, they question His identity. They challenge His authority. And they even accuse Him of having a devil. But in response, Jesus gave a profound statement that cuts through all human pride. Here in verse 54 of John chapter 8, and Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Here is the Son of God, the one who is worthy, who deserves all glory, honor, and praise. Yet He refuses to honor Himself. He refuses self-honor. He points all glory and honor to the Father. So this verse not only presents a theological truth, but also a model for Christian living. For you and me. How should we live our life on earth? If the Son of God refused self-glory, how much more should we? Tonight we will consider two important lessons from this verse. The first, refuse any glory for yourself. And the second, reserve all glory for God. The first one, refuse any glory for yourself. Remember just now we sang the hymn, right? May the mind of Christ our Savior. You know, the final sentence of the final verse says what? May they forget the channel, seeing only Him. Means refuse any glory for yourself. Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Think about these words. Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. If anyone in the universe who had a right to honor himself, it would be Jesus. But he said, if I do that, it counts for nothing. Wow. What humble Savior. Now listen carefully. If Jesus would gain nothing by honoring himself, what about you and me? We are tiny. We are weak. We are fragile. We are totally corrupted, weak and evil, weaker and evil sinners. Yet, we spend so much energy, effort, time to make people honor us. And this is the sin of pride. This is the sin of pride. And this is the original sin of the devil, Satan himself. Remember, and this Satan, he was originally created as a beautiful angel, the angel of light, right? So wonderful, but he was not satisfied. He wanted more. What did he say? He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will be like the Most High. In other words, he wants more glory, honor, and praise. And what is the result? The result is that an angel became the devil. And who will end up in the eternal lake of fire? He didn't want to submit to God. He wanted to be like God. And he's continually tempting people and making people follow him. We all know the story, right? In the Garden of Eden, the devil came and said to Eve, if you eat this fruit, you will be like God. If you eat this fruit, you will be like God. Do you want to be like God? What did he promise? He promised honor, significance. He promised that she would not have to bow to anyone, and she could be her own God. He promised honor, glory, and praise, but that is the lie of the devil. We all know, right? He ended up breaking God's commandments, and the death came upon man. And that's the lie that we still believe today. We want people to clap for us. We want our names to be known. They want post pictures that make us look great, successful, or look holy and righteous or spiritual. We want a promotion. If we do not get them, we feel sad, disappointed, even angry. But Jesus says that kind of honor is nothing, empty, zero, it's vainglory, and will not bring you to the presence of God, but the opposite. It is like a balloon full of hot air. It looks big for a moment, and then it pops, and there's nothing left. Think about King Herod, recorded for us in Acts chapter 12. He put on a beautiful robe. He gave a big speech, and people shouted, "It is the voice of God, not of man." And he accepted that praise. He enjoyed the praise. Yes. Yes. He gave more praise. He didn't give glory to God. And what happened? Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down and he was eaten by worms and died. That is what happens to self-honor. It looks shiny for 1 second. And then the worms come. Do you want self-honor? Be very, very careful. Jesus is different. He refused to grab glory for himself. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Apostle Paul writes that Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God and made himself of no reputation. He was God. He did not hold on to that glory. He let it go. He became a man, even a servant. He washed dirty feet. He let people spit on him. He let them nail him on the cross. For who? For you and for me, for our sins. Why did he do that? Because he loves us. He wants to save us. He wants to use his whole life to bring honor and glory to his Father. That is Jesus. He knew that true honor is the honor that comes from God the Father. But why we love self-honor so much? Why do we love self-praise? You want glory. Why? Because of the sin of pride. Sin has corrupted, has twisted our minds and our hearts. We were made to reflect the glory of God, just like the moon reflects the sun. But sin made us want to be the sun. The sin of pride made us enemies of God. It caused us to rob the glory of God. We need to pray and repent. Say, "Oh, Father, forgive me. Help me, Lord, to be humble. Walk with thee. Do not seek my own glory. Help me always honor your name. In whatever I say and do, all for you." And also because we confuse honor with value. We think that if people honor us, that means we are valuable. But our value does not depend on what men say about us. It's not about what people think of us. It's about what God thinks of us. That's our value. And God already proved our value at the cross. He loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for us on the cross. Our value is not in our reputation. It's in his redemption. Jesus died for us, for you and for me. That's our value. So we need to learn to refuse self-glory. But how? There are three ways to refuse glory for yourself. First, stop seeking praise from men. Stop seeking or desiring praise from men. It's a very small matter whether people praise you or not praise you. Or people see you good or see you bad. It doesn't matter. As Paul said, it's a small matter. It's a small thing that I should be judged of you. Although Apostle Paul served very faithfully, he did his very best. He gave his whole life for Christ. But there are people in Church of Corinth who were not happy with him. When Paul was in prison, people accused him. Doesn't matter. I know I am a servant of Christ. The most important thing is what Christ said about me. Ask yourself, in every situation, am I doing this for God's praise or for man's praise? Be very careful. When you do something good, we do it secretly. As the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Pray, give, and serve in a humble manner. People see or people don't see. People praise you or not. It's not the issue. I'm here for Christ. In fact, if everybody say good about you, you are in trouble. Right? The Bible says if everybody say good about you, woe unto you. So always seek Christ's praise or God's praise. Okay? If we do not seek for men's attention and praise, and do it humbly, quietly for God, our Father which sees in heaven, or he sees what we do in secret, he will reward us openly. Okay. The second way is what? Learn to give credit away. Learn to give credit away. When people praise you, learn to redirect that praise to God. Sometimes, in our sinful flesh, we enjoy our ears, we like to hear people say good of us. Yes. Sometimes, learn, in the Bible says what? Say something like, God helped me, and thank God, and bring their attention to God. Not like the Chinese way, okay, where we often say, no la, no la, no la. Actually, means yes. Say more. No, it's not like that. We ought to sincerely and give all the praise, honor, to our Savior, our Master, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the Apostle Paul. He always remembered that. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's always by the grace of God. He said, not I, but Christ liveth in me. If there's someone who can be proud of what they do for Christ, I believe Apostle Paul would be number one. He was so tirelessly working for the Lord. He went so many places in his missionary journey, from like Ephesus, like Philippi, and Galatia. In those cities, the traveling is not like so convenient like all days. We have cars, aeroplane. Sometimes we're still complete. We're so tired. How about Apostle Paul? While he was in the prison, what was he doing in the prison? He was writing epistles. He was praying for the churches. He had done so much for the Lord. He wrote at least 13 epistles. But what did he say? It's not I, not me, but Christ liveth in me. He always remembered. It's the grace of God upon me. He refused to keep glory for himself. He always pointed to the grace of God. Learn from him. And always give glory to God. The third way is what? Rejoice when you are overlooked. This is hard. When you have done so much, but you are ignored. Nobody sees anything about it. It's all right. The Bible said in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 10, we have done everything. Remember, we are only unprofitable servants. We are always servants. That's our duty. That's what we ought to do. People praise or not, even God praise or not, at the moment, or reward or not, that's our duty. We ought to do it. If, let's say, someone else, they get the praise, they get a promotion, not you, although you work harder than them, doesn't matter. Rejoice. Do not get upset or bitter about it. No. If you want to refuse self-glory, you must learn to be happy when you are invisible, when you are ignored, when you are despised, but Christ is promoted. We all know John the Baptist, right? He understood the truth. He said about Jesus, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. We all know this verse very well, right? I believe most, if not all, can memorize this verse. But do we really understand and apply it in our lives? He must increase. I must decrease. I must hide myself behind the cross. Let Christ be known, be praised, be promoted, be glorified. Not me. That's John the Baptist. He was the most popular preacher in Israel in those days. Thousands of people went to him to hear his preaching, to be baptized by him. But later on when Jesus came, the crowd, they all went after Jesus. Even John's disciples also asked John, said, Rabbi, you see everybody going after Jesus. What did John say? What did he say? He said, that is exactly right. I am not Messiah. I'm only his servant. I'm not worthy to unloose the latch of his shoes. Wow. That's right. He humbled himself to dust. And he knew his job is to make Jesus look great and himself look small. As long as Jesus gets all glory, I am happy. I am satisfied. There's a warning from God's word, from James chapter 4, verse 6. Maybe we can turn to that verse. James chapter 4, verse 6. I read to you, James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Here you see, if we do not want to refuse self-glory, God will help us. If we do not want to refuse self-glory, God will help us. You know that? And will help us to humble ourselves, he will do it. He resists the proud. The word resist means God fights against them. He opposes them. He stands in their way. Look at the king Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 4. He looked at his great palace. His this great Babylon that I have built by my power, for the honor of my majesty, me, you know, everything about me. So one, I have built this great palace, I have built this great nation. Well, words still in his mouth. What happened? God made him eat grass like an ox for 7 years. His hair grew like eagle's feather, and his nails grew like bird's claws. God humbled him until he learned that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Be warned. Never follow Nebuchadnezzar. That's a terrifying story, isn't it? He learned it the hard way. He learned it the hard way. But it's also a merciful story. Why? Because after 7 years, God gave Nebuchadnezzar his mind back. And he finally said, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and honor the King of Heaven." It took 7 years of eating grass, and he finally learned to refuse his own glory and give it to God. So do not wait for the grass. Learn the lesson now. So if we do not want to humble ourselves, God will help us. He will put us in a very difficult situation. He will send troubles, trials, until we realize that we are nothing. Until we realize we need totally, fully depend on Him. And always praise Him. The second lesson is reserve all glory for God. Reserve all glory for God. Now let us look at the second part of John chapter 8, verse 54. Here Jesus said, "It is my Father that honoreth me." It is my Father that honoreth me. This is wonderful. Jesus did not grab honor for himself. He waited for his Father to give it to him, and the Father did it. God the Father honored the Son in three ways. What are the three ways? The first, the Father honored Jesus in his baptism. Remember that in Jesus' baptism, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended as a dove upon him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is the Father's confirmation of Christ's identity. This is Father's honor. Father gave the Son the glory. The second time, Father honored Jesus at his transfiguration. On the mountain, Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared. And again, the second time, the Father spoke, "And this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." The second time, the Father not only gave him this glory, but also gave him this authority. "Hear ye him." All the apostles, all the disciples, remember that your life, always remember in your life, hear, listen to him, and obey Jesus Christ. That is what you should do. The third time, the Father honored Jesus by raising him from the dead. The resurrection was God's great approval to Jesus. The Father raised him from the dead. Jesus himself, he humbled himself to death on the cross, and God exalted him highly and gave him a name which is above every name. This is the second time. This is the third time. The first two times, one is in the baptism, one in the transfiguration, and the third time at his resurrection. So, this, you see, here is the pattern that Jesus shows us, right? He refused self-glory, and the Father gave him true glory. He did not promote himself. He did not defend himself. He trusted his Father will honor him in the right way at the right time. So follow Christ. If we learn from our Lord, our Savior, as Christians, right, the followers of Christ, just do the will of God, and God knows how to honor us. Right? He will honor those who honor Him. And not because we deserve it, but because He's a gracious Father, a generous Father, who loves to lift up the humble. Whom will God honor? Whom will God honor? Let us read another verse in John chapter 12, verse 26. John chapter 12, verse 26. It says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Who will God honor? It's those who serve, right? So, let us remember this lesson, okay? And use our life, you know, always remember to serve God. It is very clear that the Father will honor those who serve Jesus. We don't fight for honor. We don't have to manipulate or boast. We just serve humbly. And the Father knows how to take care of the rest. There's another question I want you all to consider. What it means to reserve all glory for God? What it means to reserve all glory for God? It means that you live your entire life as a mirror to reflect God's glory. Let people forget you, but remember Jesus Christ. We are made and saved for one single purpose: to serve Him, to honor Him, and to glorify His name. If we lose that purpose, though we are living, yet we are dead. That's the only purpose. I remember some time ago, I heard a preacher. He said, "You know, there's a purpose we watch. What's the purpose? To show the time, right? To show time so we know what's time now. But when the watch stops working, what do we do with it? Throw it away. How about you and me? And the only purpose of our life is to honor Him, to glorify His name. If we do not live for that purpose, we are useless. Our life will be meaningless. Live for God's glory. There are three areas where you must reserve all glory for God. What are the three areas? The first one, in your salvation, we are saved not because we are smart, we are clever, we are better than others. No. You know, somehow I see people in church, they feel they are better than others. I ask them, "Are you a sinner?" You say, "I'm a sinner." But some of them feel that maybe I'm a better sinner than others. There's so certain wrong thinking and understanding within us. We are better than someone. At least I'm not that bad. Somehow, you know, this kind of mindset, you know, can go into our mind and heart. It's very dangerous. That's the thinking of the Pharisees, right? They said, "I'm not like the publican who done a lot of wicked things. they think they are holier than the rest, but actually not. Be very careful, okay? It's all because of God's grace and mercy, not that we chose Jesus, but He chose us, right? It's really, what we can we say? Thank you, Lord. I am an unworthy sinner. I'm totally corrupted and depraved. I can do nothing to save myself. I cannot contribute anything for my salvation. It's only because Jesus Christ, He loved me, He died for me, He resurrected for me, all because of Him. Thank you. Every day we say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me, for giving me the breath to live for you. From the very first day that we were created, our forefathers, Adam and Eve, God gave them the breath. For what? For us to live for Him. Not for us to earn a lot of money and get promoted in our company and to be somebody in the place where we're working. No. It's only for Christ. I hear people who are so proud of their children. They say, oh, my son, my daughter, they are working in a company. Wow, the boss liked them very much. As if without the child, the company cannot run. And they're so proud of it. And the child or themselves working in the company for many years, for decades. And they really, they did well in their job. They got promoted higher and higher. And a trusted person. Whatever the boss gives him to do something, sure the person will do very well. And the boss will be happy with it. But nobody knows this person is a Christian. Nobody knows. They never share gospel with anyone. What do you think about it? In the world, people will say, wow, this guy is very successful. Wow, smart. Very intelligent. And he can do things very well. He knows how to do it. But in God's eyes, he's a failure. Maybe a lot of people praise him. The parents also praise their son. They're very proud of it, their son. But one day, when they see Jesus Christ face to face, they'll cry. You are not working for me. You are working for your boss. You are working for this world. You are preparing all of this for destruction. So remember that, okay? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Our faith is a gift from God. We were dead in sins, but God made us alive. He opened our eyes, He gave a new heart. He died for us, that we may live for Him. This is the first area in your salvation. The second, in your gifts and talents. In your gifts and talents. Maybe you can sing. Some they can sing very well. A very beautiful voice. Maybe you can play instruments. Maybe you can teach and preach. Maybe you are very good with administration. Maybe you have a lot of gifts and talents. You can do a lot of things. But where did this come from? Always remember that we are no better than the donkey where Jesus rode when He entered Jerusalem. We are only an instrument. We have nothing to be glory of. We can only see by the grace of God, right? Remember the Apostle Paul. I believe in the book of Galatians. What did he say? In the Galatians chapter 6. Let me read to you these few verses. in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. He says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The Apostle Paul, he was not nobody, he was somebody. He was born in the tribe of Benjamin, king's tribe. He was born a citizen of Rome. He was taught in the Greek professor, Gamaliel. And he was a very intelligent Pharisee. But you see, I have nothing to glory of. I can only boast what? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can only say because His love, His mercy, His grace, His help, all because of my Savior. Not me, but Christ that liveth in me. So for us, if God gives us the gifts and talents, we can do something for Him. Thank God. Remember in the book of James chapter 1 verse 17, it says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's from the Father of lights. Always remember, we are no better than anyone. We are just a sinful human being and deserve eternal destruction, a hellfire. But God saved us because of His mercy, His love. And He gave us a talent that's not for your own. And God gave it to you so that you can use it for His glory. So, every believer has a gift, at least one. I know you have heard that many times, but I also know that there are members of church, Christians in church, they're still thinking a service is for those who are like gifted and those who are leaders in the church. So for them, they are just like a customer. They come to church, and they don't know what can they do, and they've never thought of what can they do for the Lord. And they have very shallow relationship with God and with people. And they come to church, hi, after service, they buy, hi and bye, that's all. But no, we should pray and to think, Lord, what can I do for you? I want to serve you. I want to do something for you. I want to use my life, my service, my talents, my gifts for you. I'm sure if you have this desire, God will honor your desire. He will open your eyes to see what can you do for Him. Third, in your suffering, can your suffering honor God? The answer is yes. Yes. Let me ask, if our sufferings can honor God, do you want to suffer? Do you want to suffer? I think nobody likes, right? Nobody likes to suffer. But if that suffering can honor God, then we should humbly and willingly accept it. Remember Job. He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He remembered to honor God even in his suffering. He worshipped God in his suffering. And even like many other good examples we see, like Lazarus, his sickness, his death, for what? For the purpose of revealing the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Remember that when Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, right, they went to see Jesus, they asked people they sent people to look for Jesus. They said, "My brother, our brother Lazarus, very sick, and almost died, can come, just heal him." Jesus didn't come immediately, but by the time he arrived at Bethany, Lazarus died and he buried for 4 days already. But Jesus said, that is for the glory of God. Jesus asked people to remove the stone. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out. And many Jews witnessed and they believed in the Lord Jesus. Remember, there's another case. A blind man who was born blind. Disciples asked, why? Is it because he sins or because his parents sin? Jesus said, no, not because of any of this, because God wants to show his power, his glory through his blindness. Sometimes I wonder if there's a choice, would you and me want to be like the blind man, to bring glory to him at the expense of our own blindness or health? You know? Do you want to honor God in that way? If God planned that way for you, if there's a choice, I hope we do. Remember, there's another lady called Fanny Crosby. She was almost born blind, right? In a very few weeks or months, and because of her illness, they were treated by a doctor, but this doctor is not a certified good doctor, and her eyes were spoiled, and she couldn't see, but she wrote more than 8,000 hymns. And people ask her, if God gave you so many wonderful gifts to write all these beautiful hymns that encouraged people, so many children of God. Even nowadays, I believe many of the hymns written by Fanny Crosby in the hymn book. And they asked her, do you feel sad about it? She said, no, I never. She said, if God gave me the, second time, give me a choice, I will choose to be blind again. And she said, if I can see, maybe I won't be able to write all these hymns. She always remembered to praise God and to give glory to Him, even in our sufferings. So let us apply all this truth in our lives and indeed reserve all glory for God. Start your day with a prayer. Every morning before you look at your phone, make a prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, be with me, guide me for the day. And that sets your heart in the right direction. When you're experiencing something good, do remember to thank Him and to share with others, to bring some honor to Christ. And some may be thinking, if I refuse my glory and give all glory to God, what do I get out of it? I still want to get something. Yes, the Bible gives a wonderful answer. Will you reserve all glory for God? You get something better than human praise. You get the joy of seeing God glorified. Is that enough? And you will hear your Heavenly Father say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. I think that's enough. It's worth it all. And I believe if you serve God humbly, faithfully, and you will receive crowns of glory, crowns of life, crown of righteousness. So I think God will reward us with great blessings, great honor in heaven. So I pray that we will keep God's word in our hearts and apply it in our lives. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. The word it reminds us to always seek to glorify God. To remind us, whom do we honor? Forgive us, O Lord. There are many times we seek honor for ourselves. We desire promotion. We desire man's praise, O Lord. Forgive us and help us to repent and have the right mind and heart. O Lord, you know we are so prone to seek our own glory. Forgive us, and we want to be like our Lord Jesus. We want to refuse self-honor and reserve all honor for you. Help us and change our hearts and minds and give us the grace to live for your name alone. We ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.